Good afternoon for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulotz. Three people died in a fiery crash Saturday morning. Around 10:35, the Sauk County Communications Center received a call for a single-vehicle traffic accident on Coon Bluff Road, just north of County Highway P in Dahlonega Township. Preliminary reports indicated that a vehicle was northbound on Coon Bluff Road at a high rate of speed, lost control, and entered a wooded area. The vehicle immediately started on fire. During the investigation, it was discovered there were three occupants in the vehicle. All three subjects sustained fatal injuries. Names of the deceased are being withheld at this time. This incident remains under investigation by the Sauk County Sheriff's Department. Delton Fire, Dells Delton EMS, and the Sauk County Coroner's Office assisted the Sheriff's Department at the scene. New changes have officially gone into effect for Wisconsin's Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants, and children. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, the changes implemented to the WIC program on Monday will offer recipients expanded food choices, more options for special diets, and additional support for healthy eating habits. Among the changes are an extra $3 for fruits and vegetables, more options for infant foods, and more whole grain options for women who are pregnant, breastfeeding, or postpartum. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced legislation to guarantee residents the right to access contraceptives. State Senator Dianne Hesselbein and State Representative Lisa Subek introduced the Right to Contraception Act on Friday. The proposed bill would prohibit state or local government entities from implementing any laws that would make it more difficult for residents to obtain contraceptives or information. The state legislation is similar to federal legislation on contraception access that was introduced earlier this year. A group of Republican state lawmakers have introduced legislation to legalize the use of medical marijuana. The proposed legislation would create a new state program allowing growers, processors, labs, and dispensaries to obtain a license to legally produce and sell medical marijuana. The bill would also establish safeguards to ensure only people who have a medical need for it can gain access to it. The lawmakers say people with chronic illness should not need to cross state lines to try alternative medicines. Medical marijuana is legal at some level in most other states. With the federal student aid application period opening in October, a Wisconsin nonprofit is reminding residents of the services they offer to help borrowers across the state. The Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt, or Debt Smarts, seeks to help Wisconsin students navigate the loan process with free practical tools and a helpline. Organization officials also say Wisconsin residents have a lower than average amount of student loan debt, but there's still a great deal of confusion around pandemic-related forbearances and changes to income-driven repayment plans. Wisconsin farmers are asking you to eat more potatoes. The Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Grower Association is reminding Wisconsinites to get their potatoes and veggies locally. The state is the third largest producer of potatoes in the country, but most of the spuds are shipped out of state. Spokesperson Dana Rady says when you're buying potatoes in the store, to look for the stamp that says Wisconsin Healthy Grown to know you're helping out local farmers. The DNR is tracking a new invasive species in Wisconsin woods, invasive oyster mushrooms. Research from UW-Madison shows the mushrooms have been spreading quickly through the state after being accidentally introduced to the Midwest in the past several years, probably due to grow-at-home mushroom kits. The spores of the yellow fungus can quickly spread on the wind, and they crowd out native fungal colonies that usually grow on decomposing matter. They grow in distinctive large yellow clusters at the base of dead trees. The DNR says they are edible, but as with any mushroom you forage, be sure you identify it before you eat it. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released its wolf population estimates for 2025. According to the data release, the DNR estimates that there are approximately 1,200 gray wolves in the state this year. The total is about 100 fewer than 2024 estimates, which wildlife researchers say could be a sign of the wolf population reaching its capacity. Managing the wolf population has been a controversial topic, especially in northern Wisconsin, where farmers have complained of the wolves targeting their livestock. A Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Conservation Fund hits a major milestone. The Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund has raised over $3 million since being created by the state legislature in 2013. The fund provides a permanent source of funding for habitat improvement and ecological restoration across the state at places like state parks, trails, and recreation areas. For every $1 million in the endowment, approximately $50,000 per year is distributed for land stewardship. You can learn more about the fund by visiting the DNR's website. In Madison, a man is jailed after threatening to blow up the Capitol. That's according to an incident report posted Monday by Madison police. Police received a call a week ago Monday night after an area near Camp Randall Stadium on the UW campus. A man called 911 threatening to blow up the state capitol building about 2 miles away. When officers arrived, the man continued to state he wanted to blow up the capitol. Police arrested Andre Anderson for terrorist threats and a probation violation. Battery charges have been upgraded to homicide charges after the victim of an attack outside Camp Randall Stadium died. 33-year-old Keith Jones was arrested last weekend on initial charges of aggravated battery and robbery. Jones allegedly assaulted and seriously injured another person in the Southside parking lot early in the morning, September 20th. The victim in the attack died last week, and UW-Madison police have sent upgraded first-degree homicide charges to the Dane County District Attorney's Office. Jones is still in jail on a probation hold. The victim has not been identified. Wisconsin students got a very special history lesson on Monday at Madison's Forest Hill Cemetery. Wisconsin Veterans Museum Education Director Eric Wright says the Talking Spirits Tour brought four living history actors to help educate students on the lives of soldiers during and after World War II. Wright says bringing in the actors to share these stories, it's much more impactful than simply reading facts at a grave marker. Some of the stops on the tour include a Madison doctor who survived the Battle of Buffalo Wallow in the Philippines during the Pacific Campaign, and a Fond du Lac soldier who was rescued from a German POW camp. More time is again requested for two people charged a year ago in the death of a 3-year-old boy. Elijah Vu's mother, 32-year-old Katrina Bauer, and 40-year-old Jesse Vang were back in Manitowoc County Court for a status conference last week. Bauer's attorney said she still needs more time to look through the evidence against her client before moving forward. Vang's attorney said he's ready to file motions, but still needs more time before starting. Judge Anthony Lambrecht says set Bauer's next status conference for December 1st. Vang won't return to court until January for a scheduling conference. Both were arrested in February last year after Elijah was first reported missing in Two Rivers and were charged in connection with the boy's death after his remains were found last September. BBB Scam Tracker continues to receive multiple reports of job scams involving fake job offers from supposed HR reps from different companies. Consumers have reported to BBB Scam Tracker that they were contacted by people claiming to be HR reps or recruiters from various real companies, including Amazon, WBD Global Streaming, Aquent, Creative, Niche, and Scion, staffing with offers to apply for jobs. In an attempt to make these job scams more humanized, scammers are impersonating real companies and using different names to seem more personal. Consumers have reported receiving these fake messages from names such as Rebecca Harris, Grace, Jasmine Martine, Linda Jackson, Megan Collins, Dorothy, and Olivia Grant. These messages may promise remote working options as well as high salaries and big money-making opportunities. To avoid employment scams, research job offers first. Visit a company's website and look up its contact information. Verify the company exists and the job posting is real before you interact with a stranger. Do an internet search with the company's name and the word scam to see if anyone has reported a fake job offer. Beware of jobs that involve receiving and returning money. Legitimate companies don't generally send money to new employees before work is done. They certainly don't ask you to return funds that you've already been paid. Be careful when your personal information. Never provide anyone with your personal information until you are sure you can trust them with it. Do all the necessary research before divulging anything personal. Never let someone pressure you into giving up your personal information because it's a now or never offer. Watch out for easy hires. If a company claims they want to hire you without meeting you either virtually or in person, and if they don't conduct a job interview, you're probably dealing with a scammer. For more information, contact the Wisconsin BBB at bbb.org/Wisconsin or call 1-800-273-1002. The Wisconsin Counties Association has named Representative Todd Novak of Dodgeville as its 2025 Friend of County Government in recognition of his ongoing leadership and advocacy on behalf of counties across the state. Representative Novak was honored at the 2025 WCA Annual Conference in Sauk County for his leadership on key issues, including shared revenue, courts funding, and the state budget. As chair of the Assembly Committee on Local Government, he has been an advocate for legislation that directly impacts counties and taxpayers throughout Wisconsin. The Friend of County Government Award is the highest honor presented by the association. It is awarded to individuals who have demonstrated exceptional service to county government in their official capacity. There is Vegas-style fun happening this week during Homecoming Week in the Riverdale School District. This year's homecoming theme is Vegas. Homecoming Week is an exciting time for all involved. Jeff Campbell is the district administrator at Riverdale.
Always an exciting week. It's fun because you get to see all the kids kind of really come out. They really come out and show a lot of school spirit. And a lot of kids surprise you in a lot of the events and the skits and that. You see a different side of them, which is a lot of fun. And we've got a lot of events planned. Our staff does a tremendous job making it a special week for our kids. We incorporate our elementary. We incorporate all kinds of different clubs and organizations. I think I looked at it. All levels of our athletics from junior high to high school are participating in one event at least. Everybody's participating. And it's kind of a whole group effort that way. We just want to make it a whole community effort.
There are plenty of activities happening this week. Jesse Kinney is the high school special ed teacher at Riverdale and a planner of the homecoming events.
Tuesday, we have just athletic events, and then we also have Powder Puff Volleyball. We are on a rotation. Last year, we had the girls playing football. This year, we have the boys playing volleyball, which is always highly entertaining for the girls, I think, to watch that. So that will be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the elementary gym. Thursday, we've got some athletic events. We have a varsity and JV1, JV2 volleyball at home against Cuba City. And then immediately following that, we have our skit night, which is highly entertaining. Every year, the kids get better and better at incorporating humor with the theme, with also just trying to get more people involved in each skit.
Friday, there will be an all-district pep rally, an event Jeff Campbell enjoys.
One of the big highlights is Friday when we get our whole school together, you know, at 1 o'clock, and we put them in the res gym, and you got the little ones on one side, you got the, you know, big kids on the other side. It's a great event, and we don't get that very often. So when you do, we talked about, you know, we got to try to do this more than one time a year. Just a nice thing to see the whole school together, and you see all the young kids, you know, they see their siblings, cousins, whatever. And we have a lot of high school kids that work over in the elementary too and help out at school service and that. So those kids, you know those kids, and it just makes it a pretty special event and probably the highlight to cap the week. That's what it's all about.
Following the pep rally, the parade will be at 2. This year's parade will follow a new route to provide a safer experience for the students and participants. The route will pass in front of both school buildings and will continue to include the Riverdale Healthcare Center. The general public is encouraged to view the parade along Mechanic Street. Friday evening, varsity football versus basketball will kick off at 7. The week will end Saturday night with the homecoming dance at 7. Be a part of the school spirit and Vegas-style fun this week during Homecoming Week in the Riverdale School District. The Kiwanis Club of Richland Center will be holding a pancake supper this Wednesday from 5 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. Steve Kolstad is longtime member of the Kiwanis Club.
It's one of them where we have a goodwill offering, and we invite everybody to come, bring your families. We're not so concerned about the large amount of money so much as the camaraderie of people, because so much things are done, having a meal, enjoying somebody's company, that type of thing. And with a goodwill offering, people give what they feel they can give. You know, maybe someone's going to throw a buck in and somebody else is going to throw a 50. And all of the proceeds that we have from the October 1st Pancake Supper are going to go to our projects.
One of the projects include the Coats for Kids.
This year, we're going to run that from November 1st until December 1st. And that's for kids in the community who their parents can't afford or feel they can't afford coats for the winter. It's an opportunity for them to put a coat on the back of their kids, and they get a new coat or gently used coat that will protect them during the winter time.
The all-you-can-eat pancake supper will be held from 5 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. The High Ground in Neillsville will host its third annual military couples retreat, Operation Reconnect, Friday through Sunday, October 17th through 19th. The High Ground will welcome 5 couples, veterans, and their spouses or partners, regardless of where they are in their relationship journey, to participate in a weekend of interactive and insightful activities. This unique retreat is designed to deepen connections and offer a supportive home front approach. Operation Reconnect is thoughtfully designed to create a safe, calm environment where couples can share openly and feel supported. For partners who experience active duty and deployments alongside their veterans, they witness the transitions as they unfold. For couples who meet after service, those experiences can feel distant until the impact surfaces unexpectedly. Throughout the weekend, couples will engage in enriching exercises led by peer support facilitators and subject matter experts. These sessions are designed to cultivate friendship, boost affection, enhance communication, and provide space for couples to learn and grow together. Advance retreat reservation is required by tomorrow. Upon reservation, lodging arrangements will be made, and a $50 reservation fee is required. This fee will be refunded upon the couple's arrival at the retreat. All lodging, meals, and materials are provided. However, transportation to and from the retreat is the responsibility of the participants. For more information or to reserve your spot, contact Bonnie at 715-743-4224, that's 4224, or email donations@thehighground.org. This October, Thursdays are for the girls at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. In recognition of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, doors will be open from 10 to 6 for walk-in mammograms on Thursdays in October. No appointment or pre-authorization is necessary. This annual diagnostic exam is intended for women aged 40 and above. If it has been 12 months since a patient's last exam, they should come prepared with their health insurance card, the name of the facility where they had their last mammogram, and the name of their primary care provider. Both 2D and 3D scans are available. Patients with questions should contact TRHC at 608-647-6321. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources encourages the public to explore and hunt on public land this hunting season. There are over 6 million acres of public lands across Wisconsin, with most of them opening for hunting. In addition to state lands, there is another 28,000 acres known as voluntary public access lands that private owners allow the public to access. Hunters can search for and discover new public hunting areas using the DNR's mobile-friendly online public lands mapping tools. These tools provide information on state-owned properties, voluntary public access lands, and more. The public access lands tool shows DNR properties and nearly all federal and county-owned lands. Hunters should confirm beforehand to verify hunting is allowed. The open managed forest law, forest crop law properties are also included. The Fields and Forest Land's interactive game bird hunting tool helps volunteers locate young aspen and alder habitat, woodcock and rough grouse hunting areas, pheasant stock public hunting grounds, and public access dove fields. The Voluntary Public Access and Habitat Incentive Program interactive map, funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Voluntary Public Access and Habitat Incentive Program provides landowners with financial incentives to open their properties year-round to public hunting access. Hunters should read the guidelines for accessing voluntary public access properties. Once hunters have done their preliminary research online, the next step is to scout the habitat and search for wildlife signs. The DNR recommends hunters scout multiple options in case of changing weather conditions or added hunter pressure in a particular area. Hunters are reminded that public lands are for everyone, and it is likely that other hunters and recreational users could be on the property. Remember, all hunters, with the exception of waterfowlers, are required to wear blaze orange whenever and wherever there is an active gun season. For more information on regulations, season dates, hunting hours, and other helpful information, visit the DNR's Hunter Resources webpage. Today's winners of $50 each in St. Anthony's calendar raffle are Tammy Bauer on ticket number 50 and Shelley Thompson on ticket 425.